So, John, what have you been up to? Because I see you've been making submissions to the regional council, is it?
Well,
or no, the government?
The regional council's just put out its final plan on transport for the year.
And that's based on the government's instructions?
Yeah, well, back in, was it February, I think, they came up with a draft plan. And then on the eve of submissions having to be in on that, the government produced their new, what they call, government policy statement on transport.
Yep.
Which said that they were doing completely the opposite of what Labour had been doing.
This is my theory, this government, is they've looked at what the parties on the left want to do and they said, we're just going to do the opposite to piss them off. I think if you use that as a working model, you'll find that it works quite well.
It works quite well until you look at the evidence, and then the problem is this government doesn't seem to care about evidence.
Well, no, but that's what I mean. Like, they haven't worried about evidence. They've just gone, we'll just piss off the lefties and do the opposite of what they want.
I think they believe in fairy godmothers. Fairy godmothers going to come along at some stage and wave her wand and everything will be okay.
Well, maybe.
There won't be any people committing crime and the climate problem will have been solved. And
well, it probably doesn't exist, though, does it, John? Have any of them said that? Has David Seymour said that?
He's not looked for a fairy godmother that I know, no.
No, but about the climate.
Well, the Minister for Climate Change has been quizzed on how he's going to meet the targets, which in theory they're still committed to, and he's not been able to come up with an answer.
Well, has he said words?
No. he's just managed to avoid answering questions.
Oh, not even any words that we can, like, divine something from. Okay. We can divine something from the lack of comment then, I guess. So, where are we, John? Where are we? What are we looking at first?
We're in the studio on Bow Street in Raglan.
Now you sound like David Seymour.
That's a fact.
It's a fact. It is a fact. But you have been submitting to the government. I'm looking at this.
Yeah, on Thursday evening, submissions close on the government's consultation on road speeds. So whether we can go at 70 or 80, or the government wants us to go at 120 on some roads, and whether we're going to have safe limits outside schools, or whether it's only going to be for a few hours a day outside schools. And the evidence seems to show that most of the accidents outside schools happen when it's not during the usual school hours, so presumably kids or drivers not taking as much care as they would take if they were expecting to see kids around.
Right, so yeah, everyone's careful around 3 o'clock and around 9 o'clock, because we know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just people everywhere, so you're going to slow down. So it's when someone might be leaving the school grounds just to pick a kid up for, I don't know, go see the doctor or something, I don't know, or dropping something off at the school. That's when it's more likely to happen, is that what you're saying?
Well, that's apparently what the statistics say. They say the statistics claim 85% of crashes happen outside the usual school hours, close to schools.
Okay.
Which I find hard to believe, but presumably they've done their stats on it. I've not looked behind the stats.
Okay, but that's not the government's stats, because are they wanting to
They're based on the government stats, because the government produce masses of tables on road crashes, and they do a whole map on road crashes. So if you want to look at the dangerous areas, well, virtually all the main roads are dangerous areas, but particular areas where people have been injured or killed, or just even minor crashes, even a minor crash, it's quite an episode for whoever's involved in it. You've got the police and the insurance and the repairers and all the other hassle to deal with. So even minor crashes are problems. And the faster you go, the more serious a crash is. Because when I was at school, they taught us that impact or energy increases with the square of the speed.
So it's an exponential increase.
Yeah. So the faster you're going, the greater the impact, and human bodies are designed maybe to stand up to running at, 10 or 15 kph, but much beyond that, we're not really designed to withstand.
Sprinters do faster than that. What do they get up to, something like 30 kilometres an hour?
Yep, but they wouldn't normally have done that. Maybe when they were running away from the lion or something, they would have managed that. that didn't happen too often, and it was good to avoid the lion and maybe run into a tree. It was a lesser problem.
So generally, John, you're commenting because the government wants to speed everything up. Is that kind of what they're doing?
They've got a list of proposals for speed limits, and they're all up by about 10 or 20 kph.
So Waka Kotahi had been saying that we're going to turn State Highway 23. They've got a paper out and did some investigation to 80 kilometres an hour maximum. Uh-huh. So presumably that won't be happening anymore.
It's rather vague in the government's consultation paper, because they do say that there are some places where lower speeds are justified. And it seems to me, looking at that crash map, that the state highway is one of them.
Who's the crash map?
That's produced by Waka Kotahi.
Oh, the evidence again.
Yes.
Okay, so you were telling me that
the government doesn't want to know, but
doesn't like the evidence. So we can't actually divine anything from that, can we?
From the experience of consultation so far, we can gather that the government's not going to take any notice of it, which is rather ironic, because they're saying that in future any proposals to change speed limits need to have very thorough consultation and cost-benefit analysis. And you look at their cost-benefit analysis on roads of national significance, and in some cases they're returning $21 for spending $100. And things like that, and that you look at the evidence of their consultation, and it's all been very rushed. They haven't allowed full hearings. They haven't taken much of any notice of what people have been saying to them, and yet they're requiring that for local authorities if they want to change speed limits.
So, where's it all coming from? Just from the minister's own head? I'm sick of driving slow. I mean, is that it?
David Seymour was quoted as taking the joy out of life by having speed limits, or lower speed limits.
Well, I mean, it's true. It's fun to drive fast.
It's fun to go fast on the train as well. We're not allowed to do that.
Well, no, because you're not in control of the train. It's only fun to go fast on a train if you're the train driver.
It's not if you're a passenger and you're watching the car's really crawling along on the motorway as you zoom past then.
Oh, that's satisfying, true.
and you can't do it on our motorways, but you can on the autostrada and things like that. So.
But what I'm saying is he's not wrong that it can be fun. People enjoy driving fast, but that's not the only issue.
Well, there are racetracks for people who want to drive fast, and they've got safety features on them, and they keep the crowd out from the racetrack and issues like that, whereas we've got people who just wander across roads, and we kill roughly one person every day, and there's more than 50 other countries which have got a far better safety record than we've got, which is not a good place to be.
The other option is we could make our roads safer. They'd be quite expensive though, wouldn't it?
Well, how do you make an urban road safer? The only way is to reduce the speed limit.
Urban road, yeah, of course, where families live and stuff like that. I don't know, I'm just trying to find some, I'm trying to understand, and maybe that's my mistake here, understand their thinking.
Well, it seems to me that increasingly the government isn't thinking, it's just, as I say, it seems to believe in fairy godmothers that, they're going to pick up the people who get injured and make them recover.
I mean, I have heard from people who are roading engineers that their government's ideas on roading are like taking us back to the 1950s. Uh-huh. So, and they are doing that thing. And what they've picked up on is the pose that they've struck as politicians wanting to get elected is to channel the anger that's out there amongst a certain part of the population. And so in that context, you can do Trump-like things, like just say wild, crazy stuff that's meaningless or wrong or anything, but it hits the note, it makes people feel good. Yeah, stuff those lefties, we're going to show them. Or nanny stuff. Yeah, I hate people telling me what to do. It feels good to those people to hear their politicians saying that, and they vote for it. And then when one of their family members gets killed because someone was driving too fast on a road that couldn't handle the speed, then they might regret it, but that won't happen to all of them.
Yeah, well, you have to be fairly unlucky to be a road casualty victim, because even though we've got a bad record, even the worst countries, it's unlikely that you're going to get killed in a road crash. So, it's a minority of people, but I think most of us probably know at least one person, probably more than one person, who lost their lives on the road, and particularly on this road. So,
we notice.
But if people are interested in putting in submissions and don't regard it as a waste of time, then look at the Ministry of Transport website and look for setting of speed limits 2024 consultation.
The only thing I would say about this wider issue of what the anger that some parts of this coalition government are channeling, well, most parts, but it would seem, is that if you try to fight it, you just increase it. Right, so if you go around slagging off David Seymour and belittling, or just joining in the aggro, all it does is feed David Seymour and give him more power. Like if there's marches against David Seymour, it just increases the feelings of his supporters.
So just let him get on with it.
Well, no, we've just got to be smart about it and not get caught up in the emotion of it. That's the thing. Like, I'm talking strategy here. I mean, I know he seems like a dick to the majority of the country, I would say.
He's done some good things, as far as I'm concerned, like introducing euthanasia. So that was one of the advances that he promoted.
Well, there's a great irony that he's become the champion of what used to be left-wing ideals, like free speech and things like that.
Yeah, well, he belongs to the sort of, there shouldn't be any government control over anything.
So sometimes that belief will bring you a right choice, and sometimes it'll bring you a wrong choice.
Except what he calls crime, and then there should be strict government control over it, and not even allowing the judges to decide. So, differences in his opinions as well.
Yeah, but if there's just anger out there that the politicians are channeling, then they're going to get away with that. Their supporters will like them. Yeah, we just have to be really careful about joining, how we join in the fight. And I'm not saying I've got an answer. I'm just saying that we really need to stop and think about it. And that's all I've got to say.
Because there is a theory that the government's just bringing all these things forward and there isn't time to put in all the submissions that people would like to.
And they're
ignoring them anyway.
So. That's not a theory. I'd say that's a fact. They're doing it as fast as they can so people can't get their get organised. And there's just so many things happening everywhere all the time that people just give up. Like, that's a strategy. Yeah, for sure. I would actually like to encourage them to be even more bold, even bolder, and go really push the limits as much as they possibly can. I think they should do that, because then they'll get voted out at the next election.
That's quite likely they'll get voted out at the next election. Anyway.
I'm just trying to make sure they do.
Because a new government ought to be much more popular than the current one is.
Yeah, it is interesting. They're behaving like a government who thinks that they're at the end of their third term, and they're trying to squeeze in all their pet projects that they knew would get them voted out. Except that's what they've started with. So yeah,
I still don't understand why they started with tax relief for landlords as the first thing they did.
Oh, I think you'll find that they got lots of campaign funding from the property sector.
And it still doesn't look good for that to be the first thing you do.
No, I know, but you know, it's they're keeping a promise, John.
Yeah.
They promised, if you give us this money, we'll do what you want. Or something along those lines. Anyway, can we get in...
But going back to what the regional council have been doing, so they've completely changed their plan, or at least their spending plan, which, to be honest, isn't their plan, it's the... really the plan that's being imposed on them by government, because a large part of that spending is from government. So if anyone wants to have a look at the two pie charts they produced, one in February this year and one last month.
So which is which? I'm looking at it now, John.
Illogically, I've put the earlier one on the right and the later one on the left.
Okay, right. So here we go, folks. Can I give the stats, John?
You look at the big blue blob, which has suddenly expanded to be about a third of that pie chart.
Yeah, state highway improvements was 9%, now 37% of our regional council spending. Local road maintenance was Oh, really? Local road maintenance was 22% of spending, now 1%. So that this is our regional council, their budget.
Well, the regional, it's the spending throughout the region as they see it on transport. So this is government spending and local authority spending and some private spending as well.
So this will apply to the district council?
Well, this is spending across the board. So anything that's spent on transport, whether it's a bicycle or a bus or a car or a truck or a train, it all gets lumped into that pie chart.
So we've had issues. Tuhutawai Road, for instance, had some proper problems this last year, and a lot of it's been fixed, but I think there was some long-term work in terms of drains on the side of the road. But councils are going to be really, really lose a lot of their funding for all those local roads.
Well, no, there's the pothole fund. So the pothole fund is
creepers.
I think that's that big grey area on the pie charts, which has grown.
That's state highway maintenance, up from 11% up to 20%.
There's local road maintenance. That's a small bit, isn't it? So that's gone. You're right. That's gone from 7 to 6.
What's the orange one? Local road maintenance.
The whole pie has increased, so it doesn't reflect that. So I think a decrease from 7 to 6 is probably keeping it the same.
Hold on, I got a stat wrong earlier. Sorry, it was safety promotion that went from 22% to 1%.
Yes.
Local road maintenance has gone from 3% to 24%. So that's potholes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It just shows a
complete turnaround of what they were proposing in February to what they're now proposing in June.
Our walking and cycling improvements was 16%, now 2%. Okay, so they've taken away safety and they've taken away walking and cycling and they've increased fixing up roads. And okay, so what I was saying before about Tuhutawai Road, that's going to be gold. Those road issues won't be an issue.
Yeah, they're part of that pothole fund.
Yeah. They're really calling it a pothole fund.
Well, it's been its popular title. I'm not sure what its official title is.
Okay. I did hear someone say that Labor had actually done a lot to fix potholes near the end of its time, but typical Labor was useless at the self-promotion required for us to know about it.
Yeah. Well, the problem arose in the first place from back in the previous national government when Gerry Brownlee was minister and he switched a whole load of funding from repairing local roads to roads of national significance. So what was being spent on repairing potholes in 2013 suddenly got spent on things like Transmission Gully.
Okay, so that's what he did then to get money into roads of national significance. This time they're fixing potholes and all that kind of stuff, and they're still getting money for roads of national significance. So has that been taken out of safety and cycling?
No, that's what I say. They've actually grown the amount. So they've added $1 billion a year for building new roads.
Okay. And presumably that money's been taken out of kids' lunches and things like that, is it? I'm just guessing.
All those things we've been hearing about, they've been cut. Yeah, health service and everything.
Okay. Oh, really? So more people are going to get hurt on the roads, but they're cutting the health service? Is that what you've just told me?
Well, they've told the health board, or not health boards, Waka,
whoever it is.
Its name now. To the people who replace the health boards, to keep to their budgets, so which has meant quite a lot of suspension of recruitment and so on in the health service.
Okay, so this means our roads are probably going to be okay in amongst all of this. It's safety issues and trying to increase or public transport infrastructure. I didn't mention that. Was 26%, now 5%.
Our roads are going to suffer from the problem that we're not spending enough on them, even with the increased amount for the amount that traffic's going to grow. So we've got population growth, we've got overall economic growth. We've got people switching from rail and bus to using cars because they just put bus fares up locally by 20%. And all that's going to add to congestion, which means that you need to build even more roads, and it's virtually impossible to keep up with that cycle.
Yeah, it's a funny thing about roads. This is an established fact that now amongst the research that's done by roading engineers that you build a road and cars seem to come out of nowhere and fill it up really quickly because people were like, oh, I'm just not going to do that drive at that time of day, or I'm going to carpool, or I'm going to find a different way to drive. And then you build a really nice highway and they suddenly it just fills up again right away. So the roads of national significance will do that especially well. People will be able to get quickly from one town to another.
From one traffic jam to another.
Yeah, basically. That's what will happen, and then it'll end up with a traffic jam at the end of it. Yeah. Okay. So, John, if you want people want to submit to that, you've got a long...
Well, it's not a submission. We've had the submission period, and now this is telling us what they've come up with as the final transport plan for the next 3 years.
Okay.
So then that's the pie chart that comes from it, or the pie chart that came from a draft and the pie chart that comes from the final version of that document.
That big cut in safety
so
promotion.
If you want to look at these, have a look at the Regional Council's Transport Committee website.
Okay. Can we move on to something else?
Or if you want to see those pie charts on their own, have a look at the Whangarara Environmental Defence Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay, what else do you want to talk about this morning?
So, yeah, local council's been having meetings as well. We've kept hearing about the enhanced annual plan, which they've now agreed on and is in place. So there's things like looking at the wrong part of my notes, would help if I looked at the right bit.
Sustainability Committee? The annual plan, there we go.
Yeah, there's the capital works projects, which I thought were quite interesting because they include amounts for a new reservoir up at Tahutuai. So when they talk about reservoir, they're talking about water towers.
So that's $400,000 for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that will serve, I suppose that will serve Rangitahi, or serve everything, won't it? The whole town's beneath there.
I'm surprised to see that the library extension is still in there with $2.8 million, which seems a pretty high amount to be spending on a local library. I've not seen any plans for that, or in fact any reason why it needs changing. Presumably those who work there know, but they've not seemingly told the rest of us.
Maybe, I mean, we don't know what our population growth has been yet, do we? We don't have the census data localised enough.
No, that comes out in October, probably.
Yeah, okay. We expect we might see a justification for increased services out here as well.
Well, whenever I go in the library, it doesn't seem all that crowded, but maybe I go in at times when it's not crowded. So.
Yeah, I don't know. We know that sometimes things are just on a cycle and they just pop up, and council is like, time to do some work on this particular piece of infrastructure, so maybe it's just that.
Yeah, we have now got a figure for the Raglan Wastewater Treatment Plant, the sewage works, so it's just over $22 million.
So that's the one that's been done at the moment?
Plus the other work, which may or may not get done on it. So
what's
the
other work?
The other work is where the treated sewage goes, whether it goes straight into the sea, which it does at the moment, or whether it goes to some sort of position on the land where it either sinks into the land or goes down the stream or whatever.
So on your top of your list there, you've got $22.37 million for the Raglan Wastewater Treatment Plant. Further down your list, you've got $43
million. I've not worked out what these different figures are. They're taken from the same document.
So I think the $22.37 million is the work that's happening at the moment. That's going to be the sewage works that will make the water so clean you can wash your hands in it.
Okay, and we're going to spend another $20 million on top of that.
$40 million, John.
Well, 23 plus 20, yeah.
Oh, what? How do you do that? Did you just minus that one from the big one?
Yeah.
Well, are you allowed to do that?
I don't know. The problem is the figures aren't explained, so to some extent we're guessing.
I think 44 million is a realistic sum for the investment required to do the land-based disposal of the treated wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
I now have the question, if the water is so clean that you can wash your hands in it, and in fact one of the water care managers has said that if they chlorinated the water, it actually would be technically fit for human consumption. Not that we're going to do that in Raglan, but it's what they do in cities overseas. If it's that clean, what are the community's thoughts on, do we still need to stop putting it in the sea, in the harbour?
Well, I was interested on Matariki event that was held at the school. You were there.
Yes.
When Angeline Greensill was talking about it being a great improvement, seemed to be moving around to thinking that they were doing the right thing now.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, if it is that clean, and they've taken, what they do is they filter the water a lot, and they take all the stuff out of it, it seems.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for me to say what Tangata Whenua think about that, but I certainly would be asking the question, and certainly the rest of us Pākehā people here asking the question, do we now want to spend $44 million? And maybe we do on that land disposal system, but yeah.
Yeah, because I thought it still left quite a number of minerals like nitrogen, and or not minerals, but chemicals like nitrogen in there, which are harmful. They do get rid of the bacteria to a very large extent, which is the most harmful part of it. But then other things add nutrients to waterways, including the sea, and that creates problems.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see what they come up with finally and what they... figures show on that, so I'm not totally convinced, but we'll see.
Mm. Okay, so what else have you got for money being spent, John?
I was interested to see that the Wainui Bridge traffic signals trial is still on that list. They did postpone it, but I'm guessing that this list therefore includes things to be spent over the next 10 years or so.
So I have thoughts on this, which I've said before. Like, I read up what the council wrote about why they're doing those traffic signals, and their belief, presumably based on research, is that you put the traffic signals on there, you can extend the life of the one-lane bridge, and so you can delay having to two-lane it and save money in the immediate future. So if they believe that, and they have data to back it up, that's very much against what the community feels, and I don't know where that's going to go.
Right, it'll go into the next year's long-term plan. So look out for it next April in the long-term plan, I think. It's the message from it still being in this list.
Yeah, what I think is that staff who are not connected to this community, like as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that's not going to go down well out here. But they have genuine reasons for doing it. I think the smart thing for them to do would be to wait till there's constant traffic jams at the bridge and then go, okay, we've got a solution. I think if they try and push it on the community, it'll get sabotaged again.
Because one of the mysteries of this is that we mentioned the $400,000 for a reservoir to Hutawai up near the springs where the water comes from. But the other side of Raglan, they're talking about over $5 million for a Raglan Hills reservoir, which presumably would be in the quarry where they've got the existing reservoir down the end of Cornwall Road off Hills Road. So I'm not quite sure why one is 400,000 and one is over 5 million.
I feel like what we're talking about here, it's all feeling very vague, John. I know there's numbers attached to specific things, but we don't really understand why.
No, I just thought I'd draw attention to them and say that there are mysteries in there which at some stage we could do with some answers to.
I mean, this is a whole lot of Three Waters work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Almost everything.
A lot of it is, yes.
Almost everything on
improved
there.
Improved reticulation and all those sort of things, which are rather lesser amounts, but they add up to quite a lot.
Yeah, and as we know, looking at the recent rates increase, that there's a thing called the general rate, which everyone talks about as being the thing that's gone up. But for a lot of ratepayers, the amount they pay for the general rate is less than they pay for the wastewater rate.
Yes. Yeah, and as always with these things, there's a lot which isn't explained. And the council has improved its way of setting things out recently, but there's still quite a way to go on that, it seems to me. One of the other committees that's met recently is the Sustainability and Wellbeing Committee of the District Council. And it puzzles me that although it's talked about sustainability, it rarely mentions climate change, even though we've got a couple of staff who are working on that. And I'm not quite sure what they're doing and why they're not reporting back regularly. It's another mystery of council I've not yet got my head around. So there's no mention of that, so that's non-news. They've also they also say that the community board's finished building the content of its community board plan But they don't set out what it is, and apparently it's going to be approved at the meeting at the end of July. So presumably we'll see it then.
So I think this is something they've done for all community boards.
Uh-huh.
Except our community board already had one, I think. We've got a relatively organised community board compared to the others, and I think they just sat down together and decided what their plans were for the next few years, what they'd like to see achieved. So, but now the council, I guess, trying to support the other community boards or get them functioning well. I don't know. I mean, it's good. It's increased consultation with the community doing it that way around. So generally, I guess we approve of that.
Another mystery on this agenda is that they list Bathurst Coal on a list of businesses to engage with about sustainability. And I would have thought a coal miner was the last person to engage and talk about sustainability.
Or maybe you ring them up and you say, look, you're not very sustainable, see you later. Do you think that's how it would work? Do you think the council's going to do that, John?
Well, you never know. There might be fairy godmothers.
There's a lot of talk about fairy godmothers this morning from John. Okay. What else are we going to talk about? The water reservoir tower mural?
Yeah, that's been talked about for a while and now seems to be going ahead. They've got $50,000 from the Department of Internal Affairs, and they're doing a landscape plan, which is up for the community board to approve. I'm not sure that we've already seen that, because we did see a plan that was a few months ago.
We did see a plan, yes.
So I'm not sure this is a different one or whether it's the same one, and whether it's going to have lighting, because they talk about lighting options. And they say that they've got 17 artists who are interested, and they've shortlisted that down to 5. And there's also the Whangarei Youth Collective involved in it, and they've got an advisory panel to review the artist submissions and select a final artist, which is expected to take up to 8 months for completion. So you never know, we might get the water tower repainted, the one at the top of the hill.
Okay.
So that's probably good news in there. It's good news that they've managed to get money out of the government, even at this time of government cuts.
Well, maybe the government, National Party, hasn't noticed. David Seymour didn't know about this.
Yeah, and they've also, they're talking about improving the Te Araroa Trail, but only at the north end of the district.
What is that trail?
Well, the trail goes all the way through the country. It's a walking trail.
Oh, is this one? This is one of the previous national government's baby pets, not baby pets, pet projects or something.
Well, yeah, it evolved during the John Key National Government, that was basically being pushed forward by, I'm not sure whether it was a retired journalist or still a working journalist, but somebody was a journalist anyway, and keen on walking, and I can't remember how long, it was about 3,000 kilometres, I think.
Are you supposed to be able to walk the length of the country?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can start at Cape Ranger and end up at Bluff.
Okay.
With a ferry in between.
As long as it doesn't crash.
if you're in luck. Yes.
You're right there, John.
Yes.
Should we take over?
Making me ill, I need a hospital.
Yeah.
The district council says that there's about 100 kilometres it runs through the Waikato district, and they say they're looking at improving the north end of it, which, interestingly, they say is one of the least visited sections of a trail and has suffered from a lack of maintenance. And they say a local volunteer group consisting of North Waikato residents has been formed to improve the track state and appeal, both for local and international hikers. And there is scope for this group to evolve into an operation that can fund paid positions to get beneficiaries into work through Ministry of Social Development funding whilst maintaining the trail. And they've approached the trust who run the trail, and they're saying that they've indicated a desire to engage with the Mana Whenua and communities along the trail to facilitate community-led projects for signage and storyboards. And I'm not quite sure why that's in the north and not in the south, and whether if we created a group of local residents in the south, they would do the same down here as well.
How close does it get to Raglan? It goes through Whatawhata somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes through Whatawhata and then goes up to the Karamu Walkway, which runs along the ridge between here and the rest of Waikato.
So it's still on the road as it goes through Whatawhata?
Yes.
Okay. And
sometimes you see people with big packs walking along the ridge.
Yeah, I have, yeah. Yeah.
And it's one of the bits which, to my mind, needs improving because it makes a detour to go to Whatawhata and then go along the road. And having a bridge across the Waipa a bit further south would avoid that. So I think that's one of the improvements that there ought to be.
A walk bridge?
Yes.
You've just seen what they've done with the funding for walking, John, the government. I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon.
Yeah, which is a contrast with John Key, who built loads of walking bridges. And cycling bridges.
Yeah, it is. This government does contrast with the previous right-wing government quite substantially. Yeah. What else have we got? We're talking about the sustainability committee, things it's doing around the Waikato district.
They've also listed the better off funding, which they're still spending from the previous government.
Yep.
So that includes Te Ao Moana, which is getting $23,000 and should have been complete by the end of April, according to this.
What is Te Ao Moana Whangaroa?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask that. I don't know. I've not been able to find out.
I presume you've done a Google search.
Yes. Maybe your Google searching is better than mine, but I couldn't actually find it, which puzzles me because they're spending $23,000 on something that at least the two people who know a reasonable amount of what's going on in this community haven't heard of.
I've found Te Ao with Moana.
Yeah, that's the trouble I had. So I think we need to pass that one over and move on to the other thing. So that's another mystery of these figures. There's quite a lot of mysteries in these figures.
Is it the Wakaama? Oh, no, I'm going to stop guessing. I mean, it's to do with Moana.
Moana, yes.
Yeah, right. So, but
well, it's the world of the ocean, isn't it?
That's pretty broad.
It's a literal translation.
Yeah. Okay, we don't know. We are ignorant here. We'll move on to the next thing we might know about.
Lift for the old school, so that's $38,000. The bowling club irrigation, that's $9,000.
So the lift is in and operational now.
So, yeah, that puzzled me because they talk about some of these being complete by April and they talk about others like that one as being complete by December.
December?
Yes.
Well, that's true. It will be complete in December. We know that because it's complete now.
Another puzzle is that they talk about the Whangaroa Wharf Walkway has been complete by June of 2027. And I thought they were already complete.
Maybe there's some trees to plant, but they can do that now.
Why wait 3 years?
No, it's a typo, John, because the four is just below the seven on the keyboard.
Okay.
I reckon that's what that is.
Yep, the best explanation.
Oh, public excluded for an update on the energy farms.
Yeah, you know, all these interesting things seem to have the public excluded, and I don't really understand why. Because these are presumably talking about the proposals to have solar panels and also to have the offshore wind.
Which is it?
I'm guessing it covers all of them when it talks about energy farms in the plural.
Potentially, yeah, but I imagine that's the wind farm, right?
It's public excluded, so again, we don't know.
but we know people are proposing that. Is anyone proposing a solar farm? Well, apart from Community Energy Whangaroa, which is fairly open about what they're doing.
Well, they're becoming quite popular now, so I'm guessing there's probably others that we haven't heard of.
Okay.
I'm only guessing because they're in public excluded, which always seems to be an unfortunate way of discussing things.
For us.
Seems to be used too much, and there have been hints in that direction from the Ombudsman, but the Ombudsman doesn't seem to have followed up on it.
Yeah, he's busy, is he? Okay, John, I feel like we're running out of things here, are we? Might be time.
Yeah, I think we've probably covered most of the issues. And I don't know whether it's a good time to go back to history or just a good time to play some more music.
Probably wrap it up. I just want to say, though, we were talking about all those Capital Works projects. You were listing them earlier. And they're just for the current year. No, they can't be all for the current year, are they? No, they specifically are not.
Well, they're in the annual plan report in Appendix 3, and there's no other report mention of Appendix 3 in that document. So I'm puzzling over what Appendix 3 means. As I say, the council's improving the way they present things, but there's still a long way to go.
I think some of these are planned for further out. They've got to be. But I don't know.
Well, as I say, that's why I think it is further out, because they've still got that Wainui Bridge in there, which they deferred from this year to some other year.
That's just, they defer that all the time. It's been there for over a decade in the spending plan.
Well, I mean, the traffic signals, which they specifically deferred this year.
I was looking at the $12 million for Wainui number 360 bridge. Is that, which one's that? Is that the same bridge?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, so that's, if that's on the list, that is for... What year would that be for? 28, 29?
I think they pushed
like
it back to 2030, as far as I recall.
2030? Yeah, okay. Okay, so that's just a list of things they'd like to spend money on, but a lot of it's not necessarily going to happen. All that stuff we were talking about earlier. But it is notable that most of it is Three Waters stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. $500,000 for Raglan Sewer Mains renewal. Obviously, they're still proposing to use the existing outfall if they need to, even if they come up with another scheme. So there's over $750,000 in for replacing the outfall.
Well, even if they do have a land-based disposal, they still need that outfall as the backup option for when the land is soaked with water or the sewage works fills up or you know, all that kind of stuff.
Or the pumps fail or something like that.
Yeah. Well, we know, well, playing with the pumps fail, that's a whole other story. I did ask the question about, because I went on a little tour with the Chronicle and some councillors around the sewage works the other day, and one of my questions was, let's just say we've got 24 pumps, that we have a backup emergency generators available for all of them. And they were like, that's just going to cost the community so much. First of all, to buy them, but then the maintenance, like every month you have to go and test to make sure they work. And it's not generally considered to be a viable option.
Well, maybe that's where the community solar farm comes in, because it could provide some local resilience.
It would
need to be backed up with batteries.
Yes, that's very true, John. Very true. Good thinking.